thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Today is just such a, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Things are going on in a positive manner. Urban Sports Scene is now back in effect. We missed out last week, but we're here now. We in the building. I'm Wally.
TJ.
Yeah, TJ. I'm going to go Waka Flocka today, man. I'm Waka Flocka. Not the flame part. That's something else. But I'm Waka Flocka. You know what I'm saying? Man. It's the Urban Sports Scene on the iHeartRadio Network. Like I said earlier, it's a beautiful day, man. Good things are happening. We'll mention our usual pub that we go to on a regular, known as Jasper's, which is located in Largo, Maryland, which is in Prince George's County. It was reopening, man. I call the re-up. I'm just so happy. It's been like, what, months? Not a month. I'm sorry. I feel like months, though.
It's been a couple weeks, like 2 or 3 weeks.
It felt longer.
It has, man.
It's ruined my Fridays, man. Seriously.
Mine,
like,
too.
I haven't done stuff on Fridays, and I usually, like, if I don't have a plan, I go to Jasper's. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I don't have a Friday plan, I'm like, all right, I don't got nothing to do. I'm like, all right, let me hit up Jasper's real quick. I call you up, and we go hit up Jasper's.
Absolutely.
I've been having to find substitutes, man, especially for Buffalo Wings. I've been having to go to America's. America's Wings? What's it called?
Yeah, America's Best Wing.
America's Best Wings. I went there. I've been to this spot in College Park. I've been everywhere. I've been to this thing right down Lanham Severn Road. It's right down the street from here in Greenbelt Road, Lanham Severn Road intersection called Lambert's. And they got like wings.
Never heard of it.
Breaded. They ain't bad.
It's actually. Okay. It's not bad.
It's okay. It's not Asian Tiger Wings like Jasper's. Love you, Jasper's. Glad you're coming back.
It's not double fried either.
Screw that double fried stuff, man. That's that fat boy stuff. All right. I love you, Jasper's. I'm glad you're back. We going in tomorrow. Seriously. We're going to have the Jasper's alumni for all the regulars who's there every day. That means you. That
all
means
stars. We're not alumni. We're all stars.
You're right.
Man.
We all stars. That means Tweedledee and Tweedledum. They know who they are. The fat boy twins. That's how I call it. It's going to be a beautiful day, man. So if you're listening to the show and you are located in the Prince George's area, please attend Jasper's grand opening.
And me and Wally will be there. You know, Wally has the picture on the Facebook. Feel free to get us a after party or a Darth Vader or a Bone Crusher.
A Bone Crusher, Darth Vader. A Bone Crusher, Darth Vader. And really, truth be told, you only had to give me that. Just give me some Tiger Wings. I'm happy. Like,
well, if you want to give me some Tiger Wings, give me mine when I'm about to leave with an order of fries. It helps soak up the liquor so you don't get hungover for the next morning. Trust me, it works.
Yeah, that's Will's remedy, and it works. I see how Will responds after that, man. It's a beautiful thing, man. It really is.
It is.
You're a wild boy, man.
Hey, man.
All right, man. Like I mentioned, we're the Urban Sports on the Eyes Radio Network, which is www.eyesradio.com. Eyes is spelled E-Y-E-S. R-A-D-I-O, that's radio.com. They have such shows on there. The Noise, which airs on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Check out Backfield Radio, and also a show that's not on the Eyes Radio Network. Actually, two shows that are cool with us but are not on the Eyes Radio Network is Clutch Sports Radio. So make sure you holler my boy Darwin, cool dude. So it's www.darwin, D-A-R-W-I-N, -sports.com, and also check out our homies Voice of the Fan. Cool dudes, man. Like I said, they have a similar, like I always say, they have a similar show to us. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/the voice of the fan. So you make sure you check them out, and just look at our website, and you can click on the link to these various shows and definitely go right to their site and listen to the shows. Their shows are awesome. Also, we have our show syndicated on the internet radio station, Real People, Real Talk Radio. The site is managed by our good friends from Apple G's. So make sure you visit the site. It's www.realpeoplerealtalk.com.
All right, let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
All right, first off, man, my man RG3, wedding registry. Fans are now, you know, buying him stuff. I hear that there's some type of issue with that.
Yeah, it's been a lot of backlash. You know, on Sunday, I believe, he took a picture and posted on Twitter with him standing with a bunch of the open boxes, leaning up against the boxes, saying thank you to the fans for purchasing him a gift. me personally, I don't have a problem with the fans purchasing the gift. But I do think, you know, the pitcher. That's a bit much.
I have no problem with any of it. He's saying thank you to the fan. We're in an era of social media. That's what the young kids do anyway. These young athletes. I won't say young kids. The young athletes. So he's saying thank you to the fans. Just trying to find a way to communicate with the fans. So I'm not.
What about just sending them a thank you card?
That's too many people. You just send it all, but all of them are pretty much following him anyway. Might as well just send it.
I would hope he's a class guy. Send these people a thank you card.
Oh, you mean for the registry? Yeah. You're right. I hope so too. I don't have a problem with it. I mean, to me, it's not like he asked himself, like, please buy me a gift. These fools decided to buy him a gift. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean to people, but you went out of your hard earned, took out the money that you made, the hard earned money that you made, and decided to pay a man to buy a man a gift that you really don't know.
You said it right the first time, fools.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. That you really don't know. I love RG3 as a football player. I think he's made me happy as a Redskin fan. But at the same time, I don't know him. Like that's like me, for instance, you win my best friends. If I didn't buy, if I'm going to buy RG3 a gift, I better buy you 10 times a gift because I actually know you. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So it's a little dumb to me. But big ups to RG3, man. I mean, you should be appreciative. You
keep hustling. Too. Keep hustling.
Yeah, for real. If they're going to keep buying it, be real. If they're going to buy you
re-register gifts, again.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, put it out there. Well, this one he didn't put out there, but,
His wife did, right?
Yeah, no. DC Blog put it out there that he was registered at Bed Bath.
Oh, you mean that? Yeah, DC Blog, right.
And then fans found it, and then they bought him gifts.
I mean,
keep hustling, RG3.
They
love do your
you,
thing.
And they buying you gifts, but at the same time, it ain't on you. That's on them. That's for them being idiots. I understand being a diehard fan, but you don't know that dude, so it is what it is. Next on the pregame, moving on to baseball. Slump the Nats and O's are slumping. I'm gonna let you start off with the Nats.
It's terrible, terrible. If you look at it. Just like look at it from a number standpoint, they aren't actually that far off run production wise where they were from last year at this point. I've always contended they need to get a big bat in the middle of the lineup. Something that they it
that's seems, supposed to be Bryce Harper though now.
Well, I mean it's Bryce Harper, but I do think you still need another bat, even though they have LaRoche and you have
not doing
Zimmerman.
Anything. LaRoche ain't doing anything.
Yeah, you know,
you did have
Michael Morse, the beast. But, you traded him. But, you know.
He's passed over 10 home runs.
Yeah, you know, hindsight is always 20-20. I think we had a debate previously about keeping Morse or, going with LaRoche. I contended that LaRoche is a golden glover. So,
Gold glove winner.
Yeah, so, on a defensive end, he's superior to Michael Morse at first base. So, I was always a fan of the Adam LaRoche signing. But it's just they've given up too many runs on errors. The pitching hasn't been consistent from the front line, meaning Gio and Strasburg, who are supposed to be your one and two. Zimmerman's looking like the ace of the staff.
Yeah.
So, hopefully over time things will work themselves out, but it's becoming to the point where, it's going to come down to the stretch run unless they get really hot and they'll just be barely contending for a wild card spot. But luckily, I think they're like 2 games or 3 games behind the Atlanta Braves, which,
it's still relatively early.
It's still relatively early. So, we'll see.
I mean, obviously, to me, with the Nats are struggling and, trying to get their bats hot and trying to be able to hit good in certain situations. But like I said, like you said, Will, it's early. We'll see how they are. When we get into July, the weather warms up. I think you'll see that's when teams in general tend to hit the long ball more. So we'll see how that plays for the Nats. Now let's go to for the Orioles. Really, it's just been the bullpen, and it's been Jim Johnson of late. Jim Johnson's blown 3 straight saves.
Did you not to cut you off?
Yeah, go ahead.
But did you see yesterday versus the Yankees?
Yeah, I watched the game.
Yeah, I watched that too. I was because I'm a Yankees fan also. A Nats fan, so I was kind of proud, but at the same time, I was really disgusted at Jim Johnson.
He exploded. I mean, you could tell. When people say that things get mental as an athlete, you could tell. You start to replay what happened to you in the prior games. If you're slumping, you can just tell. As soon as he gave up that home run, as soon as he fell behind to who hit the home run? The left.
Hoffer.
Hafner hit the home run. As soon as he fell behind Hafner, you could tell he was just struggling to get back into the strike zone. He was in command of strike zone, and all of a sudden, you could just see him start to lose confidence. And as soon as that, he fell 3-1 to Hafner. Hafner hit that bomb to the opposite field. He just needs to get his sinker back, be able to throw strikes, be able to get ahead of the count. He's not getting ahead of the count. Once he gets ahead of the count, he's more of a dangerous pitcher. Then he can use his other pitches. He's forgotten that he's more than a two-pitch pitcher. He started off as a starter. He has four pitches. So if he can get back to not even last year's Jim Johnson, but the Jim Johnson who used to be a middle reliever for the Orioles, the Jim Johnson who was a setup guy for the Orioles, if he can get back to that level, there's no way to me the Orioles won't start winning again. I think a lot of people are saying like he's been figured out. But no, his track record, he's shown that he's been in the majors for a while. He's just been there as a closer. But if we're looking at his track record, he's been dominant as a reliever, period. So it's all on him. It's just a mental thing with him.
Speaking of relievers and bullpens, just a side note, mental toughness, Mariano Rivera. Yeah. Did you see him?
Yeah, he's throwing. You know what?
16-for-16 when it comes to save. That's mental toughness.
No, he's got mental toughness.
Yeah, to come off of that ACL injury at the age of 40. What is he? 42.
Yeah, is he 42?
42. I think he's 42, going on 43. People, if you want to watch the greatest to do what he's ever done, watch history. Just watch him. Just watch him during this last season.
A duel of basically two pitches. I mean, like really one pitch. It's a fastball. He's not throwing anything. He's cutting his fastball. He's an amazing guy. I was watching him yesterday. I've watched, obviously, being an Orioles fan, I've watched Mariano Rivera for years. And, to even where he's at now, to even get batters out, you said 16-for-16, he's only throwing like 90 miles per hour. This is a guy who threw 95 and struck out everybody. He's an amazing guy. So for him to do it with what he has as a pitcher, what his stuff is now, is amazing. But, yeah, hopefully the Orioles and Nats will get better and bring the DC Maryland area some pride. I don't want to say the DMV because Baltimore's not part of the DMV, so I'm gonna say the DC Maryland area some pride.
All right, but speaking of the DMV, this past Saturday, Lamont Peterson lost in a third round knockout to Lucas the Machine Matisse in Atlantic City for the 140. Absolutely, I saw it.
Cool.
Lucas Matisse, even though Danny Garcia is the champion at 140.
Man, Danny Garcia.
I've long contended that Lucas Matisse is the best boxer at 140 pounds. And he showed why. He went out there and he didn't just beat Lamont Peterson. He destroyed him for the first three rounds. He knocked him down in the second round. And then the third round he caught him with a short, I think it was a left hook, and totally floored him and knocked him out. Lucas Matisse and Danny Garcia, that's going to be an interesting fight. And also, you know what that fight's going to be?
It's coming up.
It's going to be September 7th. Do you know what it's going to be?
Atlantic City?
Verizon Center.
It's going to be in the city?
Verizon Center. Yep.
Wow.
Richard Schaefer, the CEO of Golden Boy, has already said, stated.
Were they expecting that to be Lamont Peterson? Is that why I was at the Verizon Center?
No, just because they were going to do it at Barclays. Mm-hmm. Barclays isn't available. They were thinking Atlantic City. Atlantic City isn't available. So then you think, where's the third largest place on the East Coast where Danny Garcia's fans, because he's from a Philadelphia fighter, easily accessible to? DC. So September 7th, potentially, Danny Garcia versus Lucas Matisse for 140 pound title.
I'm not. I feel like I'm the only Danny Garcia supporter. I've seen
If you saw that fight, Danny Garcia looked shook after the fight.
Saw it?
Yeah, he was sitting ringside. He looked shook. He looked like, damn, I got to go against this.
Okay, well, truth be told, I saw that saying that kind of image on Instagram. That somebody had like a little pic about like Danny Garcia looking scared. I didn't get it because I didn't see the fight, but now it makes sense to me.
No, I think Danny Garcia definitely knows he's in there with a guy who
can go, who
lets his hands go, has fist of fury, is not afraid, who's going to stand right there in the telephone booth and fight with you. So, you know, September 7th. Hopefully the fight does pan out that it's in D.C. And D.C. fight fans are going to get a hell of a show when those two guys get in the ring and collide for all of the titles at 140.
I'm a Danny Garcia fan. I'm going to pick Danny Garcia. I know a lot of people are looking at Matisse, but I'm a big Danny Garcia fan.
I did want to do this while we're on air. Go ahead. Tom Block, I'm putting you on notice right now. September 7th, if the fight is in the Verizon Center, you have to get me and Wally media credentials for the fight.
Cool, I'm down with that. You know who might get it to us anyway?
Who's that?
West Coast can do it, too.
Oh, that's what's up, West man.
Still a fan. He can do it. He's going to try to get us to interview some boxers, you know, and try to put a duo collabo, you know what I'm saying, collabo for the urban sports scene and the sports crib.
That's what's up.
He's the man. That's the reason he's not a Wizards fan. You know what I'm saying? Hey, yeah, but yeah, I would love to see that fight. Danny Garcia. Hopefully he can do something right for the naysayers, man, because every time he gets a W, people have something else to say. So anyway, let's go down to football. Rolando McClain has decided to retire at the age of 23. Ravens. She's supposed to be
newly signed inside linebacker from
Ray Lewis.
I don't think he's done completely. I think he's going to take probably a year and a half to get himself together.
Yeah.
Kind of prove to everybody and himself that he can stay out of trouble. But in actuality, probably playing for the Ravens was probably the best thing he could do, relocate himself up to the Baltimore area. Because it seems that he's from Alabama. All of his troubles stem from being in Alabama when he's been arrested numerous times. Yeah. So to me, it would kind of make more sense if you kind of relocated yourself up here to the Baltimore area. I've never been to Alabama. Baltimore is a pretty dangerous city, per the statistics. But, you know, Columbia, you know, Reisterstown. You know, there are plenty of safe areas you could hang out at. You know, actually, me and my buddy Jew, we saw Michael Huff, Ladarius Webbs, all those guys in Fridays and Reisterstown Road a couple of weeks ago, man. So he could have been up here hanging out with those guys.
I'm with you, man. I just think I'm with you. He should not. I don't believe he's going to retire, like truly retire in the truest sense. He'll be back in a year or two. The guy can play. I know he didn't do what they thought he would do in Oakland, but he can play. And Oakland's a terrible environment anyway, so any young man would fail in Oakland, I think, easily. So hopefully the kid –
it's a pretty bold statement.
It's Oakland. Hopefully the kid gets his mind right, gets the love of football back again. And honestly, like you said, I think the Ravens would have been a great fit for him, just because I think the Ravens have such a family oriented team, and they always look for the next man. And to me, the next man always steps up.
It has that keyword culture, strong culture.
It really does. Let's go into another topic, which has me like dying. It's a college football thing. We'll get back to some funny NFL news. Young recruit Jay Harris, aka Jay Dat Bull. Decided to reject college football, a D1 scholarship.
Well, actually, I heard he didn't reject it.
It was the video, right?
They saw the video and they took back the scholarship.
Yeah,
hilarious. Did you see the video?
No, I did not see the video.
I saw it. Oh my God!
Does he have a career?
No, he doesn't. imagine Chief Keef mixed with Trinidad James.
Oh no!
Mixed with French Montana.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That bad?
Yeah.
So he one of them rappers.
One of those. And, you know, shout out to all those guys. I respect your craft. I respect your artistry.
I'm glad you do. I do not. I
actually just got French Montana CD.
Is it awesome?
I haven't listened to it yet.
You got it for Pop That?
Huh?
You got it for Pop That?
No, I got it. I listen to everything. I give everything one unbiased opportunity listen to it.
God,
and then I can
heart.
Determine if it's truly trash or
I
not.
Got you. God bless your heart. You know, just looking at Trinidad James, I refuse to listen to it.
And some of those CDs actually come in handy. They make very good coasters on your
I feel you. But I don't use CDs anymore. Tables. I just put them on my iPhone, and I can just listen to music that way.
Okay.
You know
well,
I mean? I'm lazy.
Yeah. You need to check it out because it is 4 minutes of comedy.
Okay.
It's hilarious. Why he decided to put this video out? This is what I don't understand, young man. Jay Harris, Jay Dat Bull.
Why not? Why rapper want to be Jay something?
I don't know. Why not
be your own man? Dang.
Why not just go to college for 4 years on a free ride, play football? And just do the rap thing on the side.
Yeah.
You know?
It could wait.
you know, judging from the video, not the greatest in the world.
Yeah.
So probably wrong. Not even in the top 1,000 of rappers.
Wrong career move then, buddy.
Right. It was. I think it's something that he'll regret. His mama will smack him over the head a couple of times and be like, boy, why didn't you take that scholarship?
Jay that bull.
But like I've always said, you know, college isn't for everyone, and everyone has to find their own path in life.
That's
and
true.
You know, this may be his path that brings him success. But
you know what?
I doubt it very seriously.
I know seriously. He wishes that there's BET Uncut was still out, because that he would have his video somewhere. BET Uncut, man. 3 o'clock. He can always play it. Used to have the fattest load. Anyway, man, I'm sorry.
Tip drill, baby.
Oh, that video was like that on Uncut. Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Yes, it was. Yes, indeed. Anyway, back to the NFL. Mario Williams is suing his ex-fiance for his ring back, his engagement ring back. And it costs about $750,000.
First of all, he's stupid for buying a ring. All right, real talk.
All right, this is going to sound jacked up, and I'm going to make this as G-rated sounding as possible. Maybe probably won't be. But no, you know what? It's wet enough to be over being close to $1 million. I'm sorry.
It's not. Nothing is wet enough. How much
I don't care if I fall into it. I'm like, oh, I'm in a different, like I'm in Alice in Wonderland. Ain't nothing. And I mean nothing that's worth that much money.
It isn't. It's a beautiful ring. Have you seen a picture of the ring?
I mean, it's ridiculous. I've seen the ring. It's ridiculous.
Why that young lady thinks that she's owed that ring if you didn't get married to him is beyond my belief. Don't get me going off on a tangent.
Go on a tangent. You deserve
on the whole engagement. No, I just don't. I don't understand. Okay, you don't want the man in your life, or y'all decided to split for some reason.
No, she did, and she called it off. That's a dumb.
Why do you feel a need to keep the ring? That lets me know, for one, you were in it for one thing, for money. You were in it for the money.
You're a gold digger. That's an easy thing to see, to say. And I think any chick that has looked, I'm serious, has did their due diligence in listening to the story or reading up on the story. If you don't come out thinking that this girl isn't a gold digger, something wrong with you. Then you're just trying to be loyal just to all chicks in general. Like, this chick is a gold digger. And when you look in the Webster Dictionary, you could be looking down, all blue, gold digger. You see this Caucasian chick.
Young lady.
With Mario Williams circled around. Gold digger. And then you have to put on that joint, beware. You know what I mean? For the ninjas, beware.
Yeah, that whole thing is crazy if you ask me, but...
Ain't crazy. It's life. These chicks are dangerous out here, man. Seriously,
these be acting up.
Yes,
and these dangerous ninjas, man. Be letting them.
I know, man. We get Miguel on you. Leg drop.
That was hilarious. Did you see that?
I didn't see it, but I see all the pictures.
Yeah, I see the pictures. I feel that, what's the reason of being a rock star if you can't put your sack on somebody's head? I mean, that's the part of being a rock star. If you have adoring fans, and fans are there for one reason, to let you put your sack on their head.
Hey, that's hilarious. Miguel, dang, dude. I felt like I was watching Hulk Hogan or something.
The leg drop?
Yeah, leg drop.
That's the first thing I thought. I was like, damn, and that's true.
The elevation on that
joint? It was. He got up, too. And blop. Sack in your face.
Oh my God. Anyway, man.
Speaking of Miguel giving someone the sack, Vinny Del Negro, the former coach of the Clippers, he was sacked.
Me up, man.
He was Vinny sacked.
Del Negro. Negro.
He was sacked as the coach of the Clippers.
You would hate working with Vinny Del Negro, yeah. Because when he used to work in Fridays, Jew was one of our friends. He used to work on Fridays in the Bowie,
mm-hmm.
and there were Spanish folks in the kitchen, and they'd be like, Negro. Talking to Jew. Negro. Negro. And Jew used to get pissed. He'd be like, what did you call me? Negro. No, sir, you black.
You
Negro.
Black, yeah. That's what it means. And
I'm sorry.
Spanish, you know, it means black.
I see when he done Negro's voice, name, I'll be like, I'll think of Jew, I'll be like, Negro.
That's funny.
Next time you see Jew, say Negro.
That's what I will. We'll see him at the grand reopening. Well, we'll be at the grand reopening.
He'll see it the day after the grand reopening. Yeah. Shoot. Anyway, I'm sorry. Vinny Del Negro was fired. I think it was a good move, man. I think he needed to be fired.
I think it was a good move, too. I think they need to – I think, one, the move was made to appease Chris Paul. All
right. They need to change
two,
the offense, man.
Over the past 2 years, this team hasn't lived up to its potential. You know, you have – even though I think he's digressing year by year over the past 3 years, and the statistics actually say that and support my idea, Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
You have Chris Paul. You have – Jamal Crawford, you know, you had some pieces for this team.
You got Caron Butler.
You had DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre Jordan, who isn't playing up to his potential. You got Eric Bledsoe.
He's really a vicious backup. Like
Grant Hill, you know, so that team, you know.
He had
high expectations for a lot of people. But one thing that Vinny Del Negro did, he helped turn a franchise that was looked as is struggling, one wanted to be, into Lob City. He turned it into Lob City.
You know who did that, right? That
Chris was Paul.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't really Del
Negro. I mean, he played a part in making it Lob City.
He was there. What happened was they drafted Blake Griffin. Then Chris Paul decided to get Chris Paul, and then that's when Del Negro looked half decent. But I don't think he's a good coach. I think that team has too much ability and talent to be out in the first round. And to be honest with you, though, Memphis is a strong team. They should match up well against Memphis, and Memphis shouldn't have done what they did to him, even with Blake Griffin hurt. You know what I mean? So I don't know. To me, this firing was good. I think if they can get the right coach, it can take them to the next level.
Brian Shaw.
That's good. That's a good coach.
Or Nate McMillan.
I like Nate McMillan more than I like Brian Shaw. I think Nate McMillan's more point guard friendly because we know his resume. Phil Jackson, obviously, I'm sure they may try to lure Phil Jackson over there, but I don't know
if it's a good fit
because I don't know Phil Jackson doesn't really coach well with point guards. He never really had a point guard in his career. If I'm correct, I believe he's never had a point guard.
Well, no, not really.
He doesn't believe in a point guard.
Yeah, he just needs a guy that can bring the ball up and initiate the offense
and defend
and knock down open three-pointers.
Yeah, exactly. So that's his whole thing. Time for a commercial break. When we get back, we're going to discuss the NBA lottery, which is tonight at 8:30. And we'll talk about the NBA playoffs as well. This is the Urban Sports Scene on the Eyes Radio Network.
For ages.
Get it?
Deuces.
Blow up last season. Every win. Every loss. Every headline. Blow it all up. 'Cause all that matters is what you do next.
I'm feeling it. Stop blowing my buzz, quit killing it. So buy another round and try to shut us down. About an hour ago, but we still in this.
Shout out to Urban Sports Team and Wally and Will. Love y'all, appreciate y'all. Keep up the support. We'll keep the hits coming.
We're back. Now I gotta read off some info for you all. You can listen to us on our show by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website. It is www.walio.podbean.com. Walio is spelled Waleo. Podbean is spelled Podbean. So it's .com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at urbansports@eyesradio.com. You can listen to us on the Sports Crib podcast show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Still a Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Still a Fan. And also the show, that link is on our Urban Sports Scene website. So make sure you click it and check them out.
All right, now we're back. You know, like we stated before the break, we're going to talk about the NBA draft. It's coming up around 7:30 now, so probably the show will be done.
Yeah,
time the draft comes
definitely.
On.
Definitely. Cause I don't got time. I gotta eat. I got time.
For y'all. Anybody who's been here from day one knows that, like, the first year of this show when we actually did the lottery, the Wizards got the number one overall pick and got John Wall.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening this year for the Wizards. And they would be thankful not to get the number one pick. Just because this draft is really there, to me, there's no top end talent. There's not a guy who you can look at and say, this is gonna be the cornerstone, the face of my franchise.
You know what? I don't really agree with that statement. I know where everybody's coming from. I like Burke. I think Burke could be a top end point guard. We already had this discussion before, though. I think Burke can be a top end point guard.
Yeah. Okay. It's a difference between a top end point guard. This is what I think. When I think of a top end point guard, and I'm gonna give you this example.
Yeah.
Chris Paul versus Deron Williams. Deron Williams is a top end point guard.
Gotcha.
Chris Paul is a transformative player who could be the face of your franchise, can lead your franchise, and can shift the fortunes of your franchise.
Like the dude, like that.
Yeah. I don't think that there's no
Troy Burke is not that dude. I get you. I think Troy Burke could be an all-star.
I think him and Ben McLemore and
Larkin. I think Larkin could be decent too.
I think Larkin's going to be a guy that's going to surprise people. If he goes to the right team,
Is he officially coming out? Because I seen him in the workouts. I'm not sure he's official.
Yeah, well, if he's in the workout, then he.
Because you know,
I think he, you know, I don't see any reason for him to stay.
Because he did a lot.
He was already the ACC Player of the Year.
That's true.
Took, you know, Miami to the highest ranking they ever had in school history. Unless, you know, a lot of those guys, unless they're going to reload, because they had a lot of juniors and they had a lot of seniors. And it has some juniors, but, you know, it just wouldn't be in his best interest if that team isn't going to be one of the top teams in the country.
Let's talk about some local products that will be entering the NBA draft. Local because they play for the college teams around this area. Let's start with Alex Len.
We were having this discussion off air. Alex Len, you know, he's a guy who's projected to go, you know, as high as number 8. Probably he possibly could go higher depending on a team's need or how desperate they are. He wasn't a guy to me that dominated smaller guys in the ACC.
The best player on his team.
He was the best. Yeah, he wasn't.
Wells was the best player on the team. May not even be the second best player on the team. But go ahead.
He did do himself justice by coming out this year in a relatively weak draft.
Yeah, he's a lottery pick.
He's a guy who I don't see really dominating on this level. He'll probably be a serviceable big man like a John Konkak from if you remember him from
Atlanta
Hawks.
Atlanta Hawks. I know who he is.
He'll probably be a guy like that. I don't think he's a guy who will dominate or who have. He might have a long career because he's a 7-footer.
You want to hear something where I think he'll be
where?
He'll be in the D League sometime soon. Nah, because I'm gonna be real with you. Think about it. Who is now Oklahoma. He was in D-League a lot because he just wasn't ready. He just wasn't good enough, to be totally honest with you. I forgot who originally drafted. Was it Houston Rockets who originally drafted him?
I think it was the Houston Rockets.
I think it was the Houston Rockets. I could be wrong, though. But he dominated dominated as a big.
Yeah, player of the year in the Big East that year he came out?
Maybe, I'm not sure. I won't give you that. I'm not sure. But I will say this. He was a imposing figure, and he went against
Grizzlies.
The Grizzlies?
He played for the Grizzlies.
Okay,
yeah.
Was the Grizzlies?
Grizzlies?
Okay. Yeah. All right, so he was an imposing figure. He blocked shots. He dunked it. He played like a big man. Not to say he was skilled and he was polished, but he played like a big man. Lynn against in the ACC with small dudes didn't dominate. You know what I mean? I mean, the game that everybody remembers is what he did to Noel in Kentucky. But that was it, though, really, in terms of highlight.
Plumlee. Plumlee's a guy who's going to be drafted in the first round. So a lot of people were looking at those two games.
Funny.
Yeah, a lot of people looking at those two games and saying, you know, he did, you know, outplay or played on par with those guys.
But
so they'll project him.
Plumlee outplays him. If you look at the trajectory of in college basketball as a whole, your college basketball season, I don't even like Plumlee. I don't think Plumlee's that good. But to me, Plumlee against other bigs showed that he can score every once in a while.
I think his athleticism, Plumlee, you know, his ability to get up and down the floor will translate good to the NBA game because you got a lot of teams that want to that don't want to grind it out. There are a handful of teams that are going to grind and, you know, try to slow the game down. But the majority of teams. They want a big guy who can run the floor because, you know, it's more of a guard-oriented league now, and teams want guys who don't necessarily need to play on the block to be effective, can play around the basket, you know, once the point guard or two-guard or three-guard slashes, penetrates, get inside and dishes it off or throw it up for the lob.
All right, let's move to it. Well, we just talked about Lynn. We talked about Lynn a lot. Let's go to Ahoya Destroyer, Otto Porter, who was also
We can talk about this guy.
Yeah. So you go first. You want to go first?
Once again, huge Georgetown fan, which I am. This guy, you know, he could defend three positions. I think he's Tayshaun Prince 2.0 more than a star elite player. To me, his game. And I don't know if people remember him, Billy Owens, a guy who went from Syracuse.
Billy Owens played, was better, though.
Yeah, who played at Syracuse. Then, Billy was drafted Golden State. Yeah, he reminds me of Billy Owens, except Otto Porter. The one thing that's in Otto Porter's saving grace for him, he took a team that wasn't projected to do that well and actually led them, put him on his back, which translates good, which lets you know, okay, this guy has some leadership qualities, you know, from his junior year to, from his sophomore year to his junior year, he did improve his game in every aspect. So that kind of projects well at the next level. Yeah. He's 6'8", he can handle the ball, he can shoot, he can defend. So, you know, he has some tools and he'll be
He's a sophomore, because last year was his first.
He's not going to be a junior.
From
his freshman to his sophomore year. Thank you for correcting.
No, let's make sure. No, we're a team here.
Yeah. Man. So you know, I think that those two things do work in his favor. But once again, like I said, I don't see any guy who's a transformative superstar in this draft. So you know, I think he'll probably go in the top three or four.
Wow, top three and four? I hope so. I mean, I like Otto Porter's game. I agree with Will. I don't think he's not a superstar to me. But at the same time, he's a starter to me. I won't even go as far as saying all-star, but he's a starter to me. I think he's a guy that contributes and will do everything it takes to win. He will fill the box sheet. He can pass. He can defend. He can knock down. He's improved his three ball. He can shoot a three ball now. He can rebound. So he's somebody similar to Jeff Green. I think Jeff Green was a better player, but he's similar to Jeff Green.
To me, he's going to be like one of those players, kind of like Jeff Green, Billy Owens, possibly like a it just slipped my mind that Kawhi Leonard, one of those type of players.
I think he had
not a guy you build your offense around, but he'll probably be like the number three or four scorer, and it gets you like 15 points a
now,
game
I
on a great
think
team.
If he played for like a San Antonio Spurs team, like Kawhi Leonard, and like he played for that team, he would be a better pro. I think he would be awesome if he played for the Spurs. But he won't play for the Spurs.
Yeah.
He will play for a team that's not good.
Yeah, but kind of revisionist history. But talking about Kawhi Leonard, aren't you upset? If you're a Wizards fan, you got to be upset that the Wizards took Jan Vesely over Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, I agree. Vesely's – well, you know what? I don't even want to talk about Vesely. I think any player in that draft was better than Vesely, to be honest with you. That's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
But I'm going to talk about another guy. He's local. He's from this area, but he didn't play in this area.
Yeah.
And that's Victor Oladipo. Actually think that guy, he has the most potential to be a star.
You think so?
I actually do. Hear me out. Hear me out for these couple of reasons. Defense, the guy competes every possession.
Yeah.
He has incredible athletic ability, jumping ability, running ability. And the guy, he improved every year statistically, graduated in 3 years, which to me is important. That lets you know the guy has focus, determination, passing.
Mm-hmm.
And also he shot 50%, over 50% from the field. You know, so that lets me know that he isn't a guy who just chucks up shots and isn't a volume scorer. So I actually think if he puts in the work, he could be a guy who can – make an all-star team, average 20 points down the line for the right team, for the right coach, and in the right system.
A player that you would, you know, he's not even better than him, but he reminds me of. He's like Darren DeRozan. He's like DeMar DeRozan. DeRozan was the same way in college.
Well, I think
she's a better shooter than Oladipo. Oladipo doesn't even to be honest with you. He doesn't create his own shot either. Like, to me, that's essential. Like, to me, to be an all now to go to being an to be an all-star NBA player, you have to create your own shot. You can't have people say that. You have to be an all-star player. Not a good player, but to be an all-star player. Well, you have to, if you're not gonna be able to create your own shot, you're gonna have to do other things to get your shot.
And that's what I'm saying. On defense, the guy competes every possession.
You're a defensive player. He's a defensive player.
I don't think he's a defensive player. I think he's a guy who
he's a very good defensive player.
I think he's a guy who he'll be a good player
offensively. What does he do to you?
Get to the basket. He gets to the basket.
He can get by his man.
He can create. He can
create his own shot. Get by his own man.
Yeah.
How
he can create? He slashes to the off of screens.
Exactly. In the NBA game is different. There's so many like for instance, I'll give you a prime example. I like the dude, but it's gonna be hard for me to be a star in the NBA. Second pick overall, last year, Charlotte Bobcats drafted him.
I know
Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. He's a slasher, and he's more athletic than Oladipo to me.
Well. Kidd-Gilchrist couldn't shoot an outside jumper to save his day. But Oladipo, he shot 40% from the three-point line.
From the three-point line. It's right. College three-points are a beast.
It is. And he shot 50%. So that lets me know the guy, he's not a ball. He takes smart shots.
I'm going to tell you.
Because he played for Tom Crane in that system. He takes smart shots.
He's a defender.
He's a defender, and he's used to playing with guys. He played with Coley Zeller.
He's going
to
go. Yeah,
he played with Wofford. Exactly. So he played with some good players. So he knows how to get a shot and create shots for himself and bigs.
When you're a lottery pick, it's a force thing. When you're a lottery pick, you go into a bad team, and
true.
All eyes are on you. All eyes on you. Like you're not going to have Coley Zeller. Coley Zeller got the double teams. You know what I mean? You're now going to be a person they look at. Now, I think Coley Zeller is highly overrated, but you're now going to be a guy they look at. So, I don't think he's going to – I think he's a good player. Again, like the same way I have Otto Porter, he reminds me – like he's a good player. I think he's a good player.
Yeah, and that's what I stated. I said he's a good player who has the opportunity and the right –
You think he's potentially a star? I think the only person –
to make an all-star – I'm not saying a consistent all-star.
The only player I feel like has the potential – to do great things, isn't it? They got him five. It's Trey Burke. I think Trey Burke has the potential to do great things in the NBA. I think he fits today's NBA. High screen roll, he had a nice jump shot, can get to the basket. He creates today. Especially high screen roll. That's today's NBA when it comes to point guards. And I just think he fits that whole role.
Yeah, I actually think the guy CJ McCollum is a guy who could be like Damian Lillard.
It's a possibility. Yeah, I don't argue that.
His game is definitely.
Oh, what's that coming out too? My boy from Creighton coming out.
Nah, he's not coming out.
He ain't coming out?
Nah, he's not coming out. He's going back for a senior year.
Idiot, yeah.
McDermott.
Yeah, he should come out. This is the best time.
It would have been the best time.
I do like his game, too. That's actually, truth be told, I'm not going to say he's going to be a star, but I love his game because it's gritty. It's real gritty. And he got posts. He got post moves, too. And he can shoot.
I don't know if you, but I ended up catching it on NBA TV. Well, it was on ESPN.
You talking about the combine?
Yeah. They tried to make it into like how the NFL does.
It's so stupid.
You can't do that. You can't do that.
The vertical, you saw the vertical?
Thing? Yeah.
Dumb.
Because what's the drills?
Keep calling Austin Rivers. I think all light-skinned dudes look the same. Barry Larkin's son, like Shane Larkin, he had like, he tried to slice it. You were 40-inch, you jumped a 40-inch vertical in college. As a freshman, now you're jumping a 44. What did you do? I'm like, dude, he worked out.
you know, NBA. I know you want to capitalize. You see the NFL. They have the draft combine. It's not the same thing. It's not for some reason. It's just not the same thing. People don't feel the same way about the NBA draft.
Something process. About running 4.3 speed, man. That's what people care about. You run a 4.3 speed.
And can bench. And you can bench 225 pounds 38 times.
It's just different, man. It's a different beast.
It's just different. You know, I don't know why, but, you know, it's just different.
All right, real quick. Who do you think – who should be – we all know that, you know, people have Noel being, like, the first pick overall. But who do you think should be the first pick overall?
I would go with Trey Burke or Ben McLemore.
Ben McLemore?
One of those two guys, first pick overall. If I'm a GM, my job's on the line. Because to me, you know, Ben McLemore, he's a guy that's kind of like Paul George at this point of his career. He can fill up the stat line. You know, even though against North Carolina in NCAA tournament, a lot of people are going to hold that over his head where he scored like 2 points. But I just think, you know, he's a good outside shooter. He can get to the basket. He's a scorer, not in the light of, you know, like a Carmelo Anthony or a D Wade or a Kevin Durant, but he's a guy who could score.
Gotcha.
Run off picks, slash to the bucket, hit the outside jumper. Trey Burke's probably the most accomplished. He's shown that he could do it at that big level, help revigorate Michigan, the whole Michigan basketball brand.
And Hardaway Jr. in this draft, too?
Hardaway Jr.'s in the draft also.
He may be a better player. I really like that team. I think Hardaway Jr. has a chance to be a really special player. Not because his dad is Tim Hardaway, but I like his game. I was disappointed how he performed in the national championship game, but he has potential. He's tall. There's some good things he has going for. And he can shoot the ball. He can create his own shot. It's what you're always looking for. You're always looking for in a NBA player. It's a height at the two guard position, which he has. Can he shoot? Yes, he can. Can he create his own shot? Yes, he can. There's a lot of good things he can do. So I'm a fan of Hardaway Jr. And you mentioned Burke. I like Trey Burke. You already know that. Actually, I am. Even though I make fun of him, I think he's overrated. I am interested to see what Cody Zeller can actually do in the NBA. I'm interested to see what he can actually do.
A guy who I'm interested is from Syracuse.
Oh, the point
Michael
guard.
Carter Williams.
You know what?
He's 6'5".
He has
really good ball handling skills.
Yes, he does.
He reminds me of a guy who actually came out last year whose rookie year was disappointing. Kendall Marshall, point guard from UNC.
He
was
a guy. Chance,
yeah, who hasn't gotten a chance yet in Phoenix, which I don't know why that team.
They did towards the end when they went to Lindsey Hunter. He got an opportunity, but still it wasn't the same. And like he should have got more of a chance. Like I agree. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. A number of these guys. It's all going to depend on where you go because you know, like you stated earlier, in the NBA they don't really have time to develop your skill set. It's more about the game plan preparation. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Oklahoma City has a chance to get a top 10 pick. I think it's like top 10 or top 8 protected.
Mm-hmm.
So if they get they might have the opportunity to get a top 10 pick. If I'm a guy like, one of the guys we just talked about, like CJ McCollum, Michael Carter Williams, or even Muhammad.
He's coming out, right?
Yeah, he's coming out.
Yeah, he's a high pick, too. He's overrated to me, man.
They
try to compare him to James Harden. I don't think
he's a scorer at the next level. That's what he is. Yeah. He has an NBA body. He's definitely a scorer at the next level.
Dick Vitale may sound like he's the next Kobe Bryant.
No, that Dick Vitale makes everybody sound like that.
He sure does.
The way he hypes him up, the way he projects his voice.
But you know what Carter Williams reminds me of? I keep forgetting his name. I want to say Childress, but it's wrong.
Sean Livingston.
That's what he reminds me of, Sean Livingston.
Yeah, he reminds me of him, too. Yeah, Sean Livingston didn't pan out.
Only reason because of that leg injury. That's what screwed him. But Sean Livingston, though, I think Sean Livingston was a way better passer, though. And that's how good of a passer Sean Livingston was when he was younger, before he blew his knee out. But, yeah, that dude, only my problem with Carter Williams is that he can't shoot. And he really can't shoot.
Yeah, and that's one thing that's going to hinder you.
And today's teams are going to
slough off of you.
And today's you have to be able to knock down that shot. If you can't blow by somebody all the time, you're going to have to be able to knock down at least that free throw jump shot on the high screen road.
I actually think he would be the perfect complement for Russell Westbrook and Oklahoma OKC.
But he still have this. They need spacing though. They're still going to need spacing. You can't. He's still going to be able to shoot because eventually you already got like a guy in Cephalosha at times where they tend to sag off. Though his J has improved, but he's gonna have the knockdown shots. He's gonna have to really work on that jump shot. But as a point guard, though, he has the tools to be a really really good point guard. If he can get a shot, though, I'm gonna lie. If he can get a shot, he's definitely a potential star.
Seriously. You brought up an interesting point. A lot of these guys, if not most of them, they definitely have deficiencies in their game. Areas where they can improve. Name me two guys you think what they can improve on. If they improve on this one thing, could be stars.
All right. Be honest with you, though. We made jokes about it. If Noel could come with a post game, he could be a star because he can defend. He can block shots and put on weight, like you said. But he can do things, that you want a seven-footer to do. I mean, a big man to do. So I'll give you that. I'll give you Noel. That's a good question. This is a really good question. If Cody Zeller can show me that he can really, that he really has some real post moves instead of just running the floor, dunking, and let you know, trying to, you know, bully your way through, because I think referees them get away with murder in college. If he can show me that he has real post game pick and pop and things of that sort, he can be a star because he's athletic. But he'll be a star at the four, not the five.
Absolutely, absolutely. He's too small to play.
Actually like his brother. I think his brother's better than him. I think Tyler Zeller is way better than Cody Zeller.
Really? A lot of people think
Cody's the better. I think Tyler Zeller because he can shoot behind, because he can post you up and how he has a post move. He can go with his left hand hook, right hand hook, and he can pick and pop. He can do it, and he can run the floor. He can do a lot out of that position. Even running the four, he can run the four. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I like. But again, going back to your topic, the premise of what you just said, I think that Noel can be special if he had a post game, but it's not going to happen. I just feel like that ACL thing really screwed him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like we were stating earlier, you know, he's already torn his ACL. He's 7 foot, 206 pound. He's already tore his ACL. Just being realistically, for him to compete down on the box, he needs to add at least another 50 pounds to his frame. And how's his knee going to hold up with that additional weight?
Yeah, it's going to be hard, man. It really is. I'm trying to think of another player who can be a star if they just worked on a particular thing. You know what? I can't even say, nah. Yeah, that's about it. I don't think that's like you said earlier, there ain't so many. Like, for instance, if Otto Porter can show you that he can really go by somebody one-on-one instead of, you know, without the Georgetown offense to kind of get him, like, open shots. Yeah, but that's saying a lot, though, you know. So, but that's saying a lot. I don't think he's that kind of player. He's a player that he can post at the three position. He can post and he can shoot the three. So that's about it. But other than that, there's a lot of guys that need to do a lot of work to fix that one thing.
All right, last question.
Yeah,
this is for the hometown team. Who should the Wizards target?
Unfortunately, the players the Wizards should target won't help them because they're not good enough. But because they need a big. If they get lucky, if they get a Cody Zeller, that's good. I don't think they'll get a Cody Zeller, though. If they get a Cody Zeller, though, that'd be good. Noel would be good. I mean, Noel, if they're ready to work on a project, Len for projects would be good for them.
I'm going to go with Shabazz Muhammad. I think he would be the ideal fit with the young backcourt that they have now.
I like Webster. John Well. I think just roll with Webster. I like Webster brought to the team.
I really Webster off the bench, yeah, but I think
he
Shabazz
did good
Muhammad
as a starter, man.
Yeah, but this is the way just I see it. Bradley Beal realistically is a shooter.
Yeah.
He's not a scorer, he's a shooter. John Wall, as we've seen, he's really fast, can get into the lane. That's gonna create open shots for Bradley Beal. But a guy who's a pure scorer like a Shabazz Muhammad, I think would be ideal for them. Another guy who could create a shot for himself and other people in the starting lineup.
Anyway, we've been talking a lot about these future stars. Hopefully these future stars can take their team next season to the NBA playoffs, and we can be talking about them next year like we're talking about the Spurs-Grizzlies, but like we're about to be talking about the Spurs-Grizzlies and your Miami Heat and
Indiana Pacers.
I wanted to give them a good name, but I couldn't think of, like, your Miami Heat. I didn't want to be like, then the Indiana Pacers, but it sounds bad. But it is Indiana. Anyway, we come back from commercial break. We'll be talking about the NBA playoffs. Urban sports scene on Eyes Radio.
For ages.
Yeah, dig.
Deuces.
Time out! Okay, guys, Summers really had his bell rung and could have a concussion. I'm pulling him out for the game. Rodriguez, you're in for Summers.
Come on, coach. It's just a ding. I'll shake it off.
Yeah, he's tough. Plus, we need to win this to make the playoffs.
Listen, we're a team and we need to look out for each other. Concussions are serious. No game is more important than your health.
Take concussions out of play. If you're a coach, know the warning signs and never let athletes return to play before a healthcare professional says it's okay. A message from CDC.
This is Ryan Kerrigan, and you're listening to the Eyes Radio Network.
You can also listen to us on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Apple G's Radio Show. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/ Apple G's. Apple G's is spelled APOGEEZS. The show is hosted by Coach and the lovely Vivian. I don't know if their show is actually airing at the moment.
But we're going to continue to shout them out because that's what we do. Love, we're very loyal.
We're very loyal. very, very loyal. And like I said earlier about the other shows, that show also is on our official Urban Sports Scene website. So you make sure you click the link and listen to Apple Jesus' radio show. Anyway, like I mentioned before the break, we're going to talk about some NBA playoffs. Spurs and Grizzlies play tonight. Spurs are up 1-0 after a blowout win in game one. Willie T, can the Memphis Grizzlies bounce back? And do you think they can still win this series?
I think the Grizzlies will bounce back. I don't think that they'll win this series. I do think that this is just a year. San Antonio's a far more superior team. And the difference, even though, you know, this team is gone, even though Memphis has gone very far without this guy, I think in this round is where they're going to miss him because he creates matchup problems with his athleticism, and that's Rudy Gay. A lot of people are pointing to, I think it was a year or two ago when Memphis was the number eight and they knocked off the Spurs. But what people don't remember is that team had Rudy Gay. He was a matchup problem for the Spurs. Because
no, we can't play that game. 2 years ago, he ain't played.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, anyway, I still do think he's the guy who.
No, I agree with you.
Athletic guy, a guy who could space the floor. If you noticed in that first game, the Spurs played quarter-court defense. Mm-hmm. They pretty much sunk it in because Memphis doesn't have any outside shooters that could space the floor and will, you know, allow San Antonio to just play Zach Randolph one-on-one. The Spurs, they devised a lot of strategies, different strategies and fronts to play Zach Randolph and held him to 2 points. Even though, you know, I don't think that'll be the norm throughout this series, but I do think that Memphis, their lack of outside shooting and a guy who could create his own shot besides Mike Conley is going to hurt him in the long run.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do think San Antonio's going to win this series. I think San Antonio will take game two. It's something about payback. You, like Will mentioned in the past, in two years ago, Spurs lost to the Memphis Grizzlies back then they were the eighth seed, and that hurt the Spurs. Everybody had the Spurs going to the finals, I believe, because they had the best record. I believe they had the best record in basketball at the time, or maybe second, whatever. But they had one of the best records in basketball at the time, and Memphis Grizzlies knocked them out. So obviously they're fueled by that. This is a team I'm sure they wanted to play, and now they're getting the opportunity. Zebo had a bad game one. Don't expect that to happen in game two.
Bad is an understatement. Yeah, terrible.
Like 1-8, I believe, or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, 1-8.
So you'll see. I think you'll definitely see a better performance from Zebo. You'll definitely see a better performance from Zebo. Yeah, Marc Gasol will get involved. Conley Jr. and Tony Parker. That should be a terrific matchup throughout the series, but. At the same time, I just think, you know, San Antonio has a heart of a champion. They have something that they're trying to strive for. They want to get that championship. I think they're aiming to get this championship. And if they do get this championship, you can see Tim Duncan retiring. So I think that's a goal for the Spurs. Will they do it? No, because there's a guy in South Beach named MVP, a.k.a. LeBron King James. And I don't see them losing to the Spurs anyway. And I don't see them losing to the Pacers at all. So
me neither. Well, I had a brain freeze there.
It's okay, sir.
Nah, yeah, okay. Speaking, you know, of that series, game one for Heat Pacers is tomorrow. You know, we'll be watching that game at our, as we stated at the stop of the show, at our local pub.
Yeah, Jasper's, a.k.a. Black Cheers, a.k.a. the spot with Tiger Wings were born, you know what
exactly.
I mean? So, I mean, let Will go ahead. Tell the story,
but, yeah, I just think that this Miami team, you know, a lot of people are going to point to Indiana's physical play, you know, with David West and Roy Hibbert. And, you know, they also got the other guy who comes off the bench.
Oh, Mad Dog. I call him Mad Dog. He's a new Mad Dog. That's Tyler Hansborough.
Yeah. You know, so they have like 3 or 4 guys who are legitimate 6'2", 6'10 guys.
Mahili,
who are 6'10", who attack the boards. But, you know, the difference is, you know, this year, you know, Chris Bosh is playing the 5. And Chris Bosh, you know, he's been knocking down a 3-pointer. So that's going to take Roy Hibbert away from the basket, which will open up the lane for rotating the ball to the weak side for LeBron James to get into slash into the middle. If Dwayne Wade, if his sore knee recovers and he's 80% of himself, this would be a 5-game series. But if Dwayne Wade is slowed down by that knee, we only get like 50% of the old Dwayne Wade, so it could possibly be a 6 or 7-game series. But ultimately, Miami will win out in the end.
I mean, I'm with you. I'm not going to argue with it. I think Miami's going to win, and I'm a Hoyer destroyer. You know what I mean? Roy Hibbert, that's my dude. You know what I mean? He gets big down there. He goes hard in the paint. We ain't doing that segment right now, but he goes hard in the paint.
Flocka.
So I see Roy Hibbert being a problem, though. Like you mentioned, that Chris Bosh will take him outside and be able to hit his outside shot to draw him away from the basket. But at the same time, when he's getting the ball inside, he's going to work. There's no way Chris Bosh is contending with Roy Hibbert down low.
Absolutely. So the double team will come probably off of Chalmers, a drop down.
So it's gonna be up to the guys that the perimeter plays and knock down threes. So Indiana, to me, ain't the most prolific 3-point shooting team. They're a hard-nosed team. We'll see what they can do. David West, him at that, you know, pick and roll with David West should be something they'll go to. I can only imagine. Or him when Shane Battier is on him, because that will probably be a cover for him. So he'll take Shane Battier down low. And if he has Udonis Haslem out there, I think they'll be better suited to work doing pick and pop with David West, a la what you saw with him in New Orleans with Chris Paul. So I do see this series being a challenge. See Miami winning this in 6. I told folks that Miami would beat Chicago in 5. I said a sweep of 5, so close enough. So I see this in 6. I think this is gonna be a challenging series. Indiana is strong where Miami is weak. We can't go against that. It's the truth. So Indiana will give Miami problems, but they don't have the best player in the world. And you need to beat a team, you have to beat the best player. And this guy is on a different level right now. Though they did beat Melo, but still, Melo was on something else.
Yeah, that whole – don't get me started on the whole Knicks thing.
Yeah, it's okay,
I'm still recovering.
And I'm not gonna get on that because I did say that Indiana, if they won that game, I told you Indiana was going to – they're in trouble.
Yeah,
once they took game one, I told you they were in trouble, but you didn't believe
me. Yeah, you did.
I know.
Props go to you.
I know. I'm wise beyond my years. I know.
You are,
I'm wise, man, who's going to be eating some Tiger Wings tomorrow. Anyway, it's about time to wrap this show up. We've been talking a lot about Tiger Wings, basketball, sports, dumb ninjas who give chicks dumb ass rings.
Yeah, so I think that's a full recap of the show.
Yeah, it is, really. So make sure you all check us out on our official website, www.walio.podbean.com. We're on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. So y'all know where we at. Hit us up. Continue to support us. You any closing remarks?
No, only thing I'm going to say is, if the fight, that we talked about earlier, Danny Garcia versus Lucas Matisse comes to Washington, D.C., we are going to start a petition for Tom Block to get us press credentials to the fight so we can go for free.
I'm down with that. I'm cool with that, actually.
Yeah, we're going to start our petition.
Hey, Tom, I'm going to hit you up. Listen to the show. I'm going to actually have some Tom listen. And listen to that part Will T talking about. We want to make this happen. We want to see somebody get knocked out. Because we the Urban Sports Scene, that's what we do. We cover boxing, we cover football, basketball, baseball, not hockey.
But yeah, nah, we don't do hockey.
We don't do hockey. We don't do golf either.
Unless it's Tiger.
We don't do bowling.
No, we don't.
We don't do NASCAR.
Absolutely not.
Not at all. Because I do that on the Beltway. I don't need NASCAR. I do it on the Beltway. Anyway, man, check us out. Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio Network for Aegis.
Deuces.
Peace out.
Deuces, bitches!